A.J. Burnett, a former big league pitcher, former teammate of both Roy Halladay and Mariano Rivera, who also went into the Hall yesterday. A.J., thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys make me feel special still including me in things here and there, you know?
Hey, man, you're special in your own right. I have it on my list of questions, and I probably shouldn't start with it because we're going to talk about Roy. But, yeah, man, you were an all-star in your final season in the major leagues, and you hung him up. Not a lot of people do that.
No. Well, it took me a while to figure it out. Let's put it that way. And just where I was at, it just seemed like a good spot to get back and get home. It all worked out great, man.
Yeah, it did for you. Great. I mean, we won't talk about
and good thing because my arm hurts right now, and I ain't even throwing, so I can't imagine if I'd have kept throwing. So. Yeah.
And I mean, you did. I mean, bunt a ball into your own face, but we won't bring that up either.
Survived though. Survived that.
Yep. Attaboy. How much of where you got eventually in your career do you credit Roy Halladay and the conversations you had in that Toronto Blue Jays clubhouse?
Yeah, a lot of them stuck. You know, a lot of them stuck. I've done so many interviews on the guy, and I don't mind to keep talking about him. He just was a presence, you know, in my career. I wish I would have came across him a little earlier, but, you know, just certain people click with you. Certain people just open your eyes a little bit. He was that guy, you know. He was the guy that you wanted to beat at everything and to do better, even though you couldn't. But, you know, you wanted to one-up him. You wanted to just be as good and as humbled and just as – you just want to be like Doc, man. That's just – he was the guy that, he just wanted – you want to do it like Doc, you know. It's just the right way.
Yeah.
When I came across that, things changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, and, yeah, I mean, you guys were very divergent pitchers. You were a guy that was, in and out of the strike zone, and he prided himself on being in the strike zone. So, yeah, I'm sure
that he did. Yeah. He did. Well, I remember one of our conversations early on when we were talking about goals, and he was like, he said, I want to walk less guys this year than I have starts. And I was like, are you serious? And I want to do that in a month. You know, he's talking about starts, and that's the kind of guy he was, man. He's, you know, and nothing was unreachable. Nothing was, you know, set too high where, you know, man, the man set his standards, and then, bam, he gave his heart and soul to it.
So, yeah, you guys did spend some time together away from the ballpark, though, right? And I kind of – okay, so I'm only understanding who you two were through the media, right, and stories other people have told. But correct me if I'm wrong. You guys feel like – kind of an odd couple, right? Like he seemed like the straight laced guy. I don't know if you're necessarily that, but it seems like, I mean, on
he's
paper.
He's got more together than I don't. Pretty much, yeah.
So, how'd you guys get along?
Yeah, it was just, you know, we when I left Toronto, we kept in touch on the phone here and there. I never got to go out with him anywhere past, after I went to that, past the Blue Jays in my career. It was just a cellular how we stayed in touch. And I saw him a couple of times when he came to Philly. When I was there, he came back, and then we got to talk and wrap up a little bit. But, yeah, when we were there, we just hit it off. I think Doc wanted a solid two, you know, and I didn't want to be, you know, a one. You know, I was cool with a two with Doc, you know. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be? And we just had a few hobbies outside of baseball that were the same. One of them was fishing, and he's pretty good at that too. You know, he's a pretty good fisherman. So I mean, we hit it off. We fished quite a bit. He had us over, you know, early when I first signed for dinner and steaks, and he was just real outgoing. And then just accepted me for who I was. And you know, I'll take that. A lot of people can do that.
Yeah. You were a guy that threw hard. Right, like you threw some gas, and Roy's fastball, it wasn't like he wasn't Jamie Moyer at the end of his career throwing like in the mid 80s, but he didn't have the type of life you had on your fastball. Can you imagine what he would have done if he had that kind of stuff that you had?
You imagine what I could have done if I'd had stuff he had.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, maybe I wish a little early on that I like I said, if I who knows if I you know. Change anything early on, but like you said, it was how hard is it, you know, how hard can I throw it? And if somebody fouled it off, I was going to try to throw it harder, you know, that's just how I was brought up. And then once I figured out how to use that with some help from Roy and, you know, Arnsberg at the time, you know, they were a good mix up there together, you know, it was just nothing but pitch, nothing but learning, nothing but growing, nothing but just constantly getting better, and that fit was great, man. So now he could, I always said to myself that when, you know, we have these discussions a lot, I bet he could have thrown a lot harder if he really wanted to. I bet he could. I bet we found out where he needed to live, where he needed to be, man. And then, you know what? That was him. You know, he found success and rolled with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, no, he was a guy that would try and go nine every time out, right? He would try and induce contact.
I don't think he would try, man. I just think I don't even think that was in his mind. Like, he was just set up different where, you know, it's so hard for athletes to have, like, short memory or to just be at a certain second and then nothing matters but that certain second. You know, like for Roy, that was pitch count or pitches. I'm throwing this pitch, I'm going to execute it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to throw this pitch, whatever I do, I'm going to execute it. Whatever happens, happens. And that's just what he did. He was prepared before the game so he can go out there and just, I'm one pitch at a time, bam, bam. I can't control what happens behind me. I can't do this and that. But dude, he had that down to an art. And like you said, it was beaten in the turf, every ground ball, you know, your cutters came alive to lefties and righties, and it was just, yeah, it seemed like he was seeing how many pitches he doesn't have to throw to go nine. It's kind of what I bet he was thinking.
Yeah. No, and you know what?
It was fun to watch, man. It really was. Like, it was fun to watch. And I've seen some good pitchers. You know, CC is one of my favorite also to watch. You know, some young guys in Pittsburgh when I got there. And obviously, you mentioned Mo, too. I mean, to be able to pitch with him and pet it and up. Pitch with some great, great teammates. It was different with Doc. Like, it was like you knew something was going to happen every night. He told that rubber.
Yeah. Well, I can speak from a fan's perspective that, hey, no offense to Marcus Stroman and some of the great pitchers the Blue Jays have had in the interim since Roy Halladay. But that's, man, when you have a true blue ace, like a guy that went into the Hall of Fame, and yeah, like, okay, he had his blow up starts, but man, when they happen, you're like, what? Like, you're on a different planet. You're like, you'd never expect that. Right. But you
and
know.
It never was two in a row.
No.
It never escalated. Never.
No, and you knew.
You know, and that's.
He would end losing streaks. I think I wish I'd brought this stat up, but like after losses, he was like almost unbeaten. But what was that like as a teammate to know that every fifth day, man, all we got to do, we got to score three or four, and we're winning this game?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? He gave me that mindset, you know? So when I took the field, I started pitching that way where, you know what? I hope you guys give me a couple runs. We're going to win anyway. You know what I mean? It just rubbed off on you, and that was who he was. But, oh, man, I stood next to McGowan and Markham and Arnsberg. Just, you know, he's 27 pitches and Doc's in the fifth, and we're just like, what's going on right now? You know? But it's true. It's like, I'm surprised he didn't, you know, throw more no-nos or more, you know. I know he had a boatload of CGs, man. Like, yeah. But, you know, he was that good, man. He was that good.
Yeah, talking to A.J. Burnett, yeah, no, he was incredible. You mentioned, you played with Mariano Rivera. I guess you mentioned it because I mentioned it. But, yeah, it's interesting maybe to compare the two personalities. They did different things, right? Like, one guy's maybe pitching 3 days in a row and in the most crucial points in ball games. But can you compare their personalities? Were they similar in that way? What were the similarities? What were some of the differences?
I think they were similar on the mound. You know, I think their mindset, what they were there for, what baseball was to them, what pitching was to them. You know, not everybody can think the same. Not everybody is the same out there. But they had the same mentality. You know, they had the same cutter. I mean, I will tell you what. Mariano did it on one pitch, you know, and everybody in the world knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And he still did it on one pitch, which is amazing. Their tenacity on the mound, their will to win and to do the prepping to win, that's what sets them apart.
Yeah. No, they were both incredible, incredible pitchers.
And consistency. Yeah. You know, you talked about the blow-up game and stuff. I mean, I saw Mariano blow a save or two, I think, in 3 years. But still, I mean, it was one and done, and then he's off on 20 straight, you know, again. Same thing with Doc. You know, he has a bad game, and you're sitting there like, oh, man, I feel bad for who he pitches against next, you know?
No, dude, I mean, opening day in 2005 at Fenway Park, the Red Sox fans cheered Mariano Rivera because of the blown saves in the ALCS the previous year, right? Like, the guy was able to bounce back from that, like, blowing a chance at winning the World Series and the biggest collapse by any team in baseball history. And, he continued his incredible career. I just wondered, because, you know, you hear the stories about Halladay. the day of a start, he just wouldn't talk to dudes, right? Like the entire day, he just couldn't. He was so locked in.
Well, you know, he wasn't like that. He was pretty serious coming around about 5 o'clock. Mm. I think a lot of guys just gave Doc that respect. You know what I mean? Like we just knew that. Like he would come in around, you know, and he got there pretty early. But it was smiles and you know, hey, what's going on for about an hour, and then it was kind of just move over a little bit. Move over and let the man do his thing. But yeah, when he first arrived, he was pretty loose and smiling and, you know, talking, chatting it up. And then he got locked in. I think it's different from Mariano being that bullpen guy where he's got all day to kind of relax. He knows he's coming in, you know, and then it's got to be a completely different mindset. I never closed, never got a chance to, but, he's got to be different, but similar in the same ways, you know?
Yeah. That might have been right up your alley. Big strikeout guy with the big arm come in for
maybe early. I don't know. Maybe early. No. I like just seeing how far I go, trying to finish what you start. You know, that's kind of what I, you know, I had a couple in 2002. I think I had 7 CGs, 5 were shutouts or something. But that's my first year was around Arnie.
Yeah.
And he made me just want to keep pitching. And then when he went up to Toronto and we got to witness this dude, you know, like I said, everybody just, you know, want to go out there and pitch like him and be as good as him and just do Doc.
AJ, this
but
was
in your own, but in your own way. Yeah. In your own way.
Yeah, this was great. What are you up to these days? I was looking at your Twitter account. You don't exactly update that all that often. It seems you're doing some ATVing.
Yeah, I am. I'm more Instagram than Twitter these days. I'm not really Instagramming it either. I'm slacking. But yeah, you know, I'm using my time. We got my, yeah, Jesus, my almost a youngest, my oldest. My youngest is starting to drive, Ashton, but my oldest is off to college. So we've been doing all that, going the past couple months, getting stuff ready for him. And I'm enjoying my retired life. You know, I kind of just go as the day goes. I don't watch as much baseball as I want to. I do catch up in the mornings here and there. You know, I got an idea what's going on. But yeah, I'm outside. I'm working in the shop. I have a couple ATVs. It's become a kind of a retirement passion. You know, I met a bunch of groups on Instagram that I would never ever do and meet out in the middle of nowhere and hang out for a couple of days and come home. And then just been, it's been great. It's been a good break from a busy life.
Yeah. No, I'm envious. Sounds amazing. AJ, appreciate.
I rub it into them. I rub it in. You know, they're all working through the week. And I'm like, what do you mean work? What are you guys talking about? I'm chilling down. What do you mean? So,
yeah.
But I got to see some of the, you know, the hall this weekend, the Cooperstown, watched some of it, saw some of the Instagrams, and, you know, it's the ovation that he got, the standing O for, you know, just crazy.
Yeah.
For when Randy took the mic, just, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, well deserved, yeah. You know?
For sure. AJ, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Thanks for the time.